The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
Hey, this is Fred Ottman, a.k.a. Tugboat Typhoon, the Shockmaster, the B-A-double-D, Big Steel Man, and welcome, because I'm teetering on the top rope.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. Fred, how you doing today?
Excellent, brother. Great to be here with you.
You know, sitting right next to you is the new WWE Retro 4-pack, to which we got the Tugboat figure, which was originally supposed to be part of the Hasbro line. So what is it like for you to finally actually have the Tugboat, like, retro Hasbro figure made?
I think it's really great. It's an honor to be part of this new grouping of wrestling superstars that are coming out. I got a lot of new stuff, but Tugboat, you know, means a lot to me. It was, you know, one of those deals. I got to see the prototype. I did a photo shoot on Rhode Island, okay, on Tugboats, prior to going to TV. And so we did photos. And then they took me to see the prototype, the two-up. Okay, because before they make the small ones, they do the artwork and all that stuff, get approval from the office to show you what the piece was going to look like. And I had the opportunity to see that two-up, and I was like, oh, my God, I was so excited. I go, they're coming out with a figure. I had to make a phone call home and talk to my wife and tell her. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to doing a figure, and they're coming out with this, and it's awesome, and blah, 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 blah. So what happens? I go to TV next in, like, the 2 days from after I seen this. And I had some of the staff go, Vince wants to see you in the office. And I go, okay. So, you know, I was there, you know, you get the TV, you're there very, very early in the morning. And I'm like, I go to the office. There's him, Pat Patterson, a couple other people there. And I sit down. They're like, Fred, you know, Quake had his run already. You know what I'm saying? He was still working with Hulk and all that stuff. And they go, we had a idea, because before that I was wrestling. When I first, the first 6 or 8 months, I was the Big Steel Man. I came from Florida, and that's where I was wrestling as, until they came up with their own gimmick, because everything's about trademarking. Everything's about, you know, owning the characters that they create for you as part of the company. You know what I'm saying, as far as any kind of merchandise. And so I go, oh, yeah? He goes, we have a great idea for you. What do you think about a character named Tugboat? And I'm like, what? Tugboat. I says, let me get this right. And I'm still a big kid, okay? I play with toys. I watch cartoons. I collect comic books, the whole nine yards, along with hot rods and old cars. But I'm like, okay, you want me to be a cross between, like, Popeye and Brutus and one character? Sign me up. You know, what else can I tell you? But, you know, but seeing this and then having that, and I'm like, I was upset, buddy. I was, you know, oh, my God. It was crazy. But, you know, for this character to come out with the funny face on it, okay, evidently the tutu town, but it's still a great group of characters. I mean, and I'm in, you know, I'm with other great guys. You got Doink, okay? You've got Valentine as part of Rhythm and Blues. You got the Mr. Narcissus up here at the top, Lex Luger. And of course, this handsome fellow, and I use that loosely, handsome.
Well, this is a great line, because we were originally supposed to get the Rhythm and Blues, yep, Greg Valentine and the Hasbros, which Matt Cardona, I believe, still owns one of the prototype of Rhythm and Blues, but he has your Tugboat tune up that you,
yes,
just talked about.
Yes, he does.
So the Indie God owns a piece of Hasbro history. Have you ever tried to buy it off him, or, like,
no,
get in contact,
no,
with him on it?
No, I've never really said. I have a... As a matter of fact, I have a copy of the original blueprint for Tugboat. You know, they're out there. You can pull them up online. That I have a friend of mine that owned a lot of different, you know, he knew those guys that made the figures. And he's a good friend of mine. He's a toy guy, and he's a tattoo artist that lives in Orlando, Florida, originally from Philly. And he gave me a copy of the the original blueprint. So I think that's really, really, really cool. But along with that, I've gotten, you know, the fans, some of them are artists. I've got so many at my house of toys that are customs that people have done. And you'd be surprised. Some of them, not so good, you know, but it's the love that they've put into them, you know, making a figure, you know, paying homage to me. I mean, as, you know, and that's the best. You know, without wrestling fans, the wrestlers would be nothing. But for somebody to go out of their way to do a prototype, to paint it, and everything, and out of existing, you know, either it be a LJN figure or a Hasbro that they've redone, you know, because they pull the heads off of them, pull the arms, different stuff like that to do whatever they want to do. I had a kid, 12 years old, that made me a bobblehead, okay, Shockmaster, sparkly head and all. He took 3 figures to make it and submit. It's one of like the prize things I have. Now that young man is like 21 or 22 years old. Oh, wow. But he come to my table, and I believe I was with Scott. He was working with Scott when he came to the table, and he goes, I made this for you. And that's like the greatest thing in the world to somebody that cares. It's like somebody doing that, an artist making a painting for you or something like that. It's something that comes from the heart that means a lot, you know, and fan-made stuff on top. This is great stuff. I am excited about this new figure that they've just come out with. They have a new Typhoon figure that they've come out with. That it, as soon as it was a Walmart exclusive, as soon as it was put online, it was sold out. And I still ain't got it. I believe Scott's got like a half a dozen ordered. And they're supposed to be... Didn't you just get notified, Scott, about...
Yeah, August.
August, about them... gonna come back and have more figures, but you couldn't find them anywhere in the store and everything, you know. I mean, there's a, and they're very cool. They're the superstar figures.
Yep, the WWE superstar figures, which are just like the AWA Remco figures.
Yes.
And I believe when you take your Typhoon gear off, they have you set up for Big Steel.
Yes. Big Steel man. And this series just dropped too. It's got Earthquake on it.
Yes.
But he's not available anywhere.
Yeah, no, and his gear is, the soft cloth is the black with the red.
Yes.
But when you take it off, I believe he has his Canadian one.
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't seen that without the gear.
Yeah, when you take the gear off, there's gear on underneath as well. Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
But I thought they were kind of cool because they are kind of reminiscent of the Castle Greystall, you know, figures. Kind of, you know, they kind of hinted that, you know, type of figures that they came out with,
yeah,
the way they're made.
Yeah, and one thing you do with your pro wrestling tee store is you have t-shirts, you have masks and everything like that. Who designed your t-shirts? Because you have one that really like struck me in awe as a fan of the show. Yeah. Supernatural with the Supernatural Disasters t-shirt.
That's the Slim Fast Disasters you're talking about?
Yeah.
Where we're like gentlemen's quarterly models on the front of the car.
Yep. Yeah, you guys like, yeah.
You know, hi, how you doing? Yeah, it's great to see you. I will suplex you now. You know? Yeah. It's very cool. Actually, one of their artists did that artwork.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I actually had a shirt that was only done for a short time, and I don't want to get too adult, you know. It was kind of Shockmaster. 2 in the pink, 1 in the stink, is some of things I've heard on the road it referred to. It may not be appropriate, but I'm just saying that's where it was. I don't know what that means, but I'm just telling you. But I have one artist that is from the Philippines, and initially did some shirts for me. Great artist. Matter of fact, he's so great, he got too great. And he can't do stuff for me anymore because he's doing exclusives for WWE.
Oh, wow.
He got picked up his artwork. That's how good it is.
Wow.
And then another friend of mine is a man named Perkins, is his last name, from the UK. And he does more of a cartoony style. Okay, you'll see some of his work on my page. On my pro wrestling store deal, and it's very cool. It's cartoonish type artwork, and I have some of his stuff that he did for me, original copies of the stuff, and he signed for me for my man cave at the house, because I'm a collector too. Like, there's a lot of people out there that should know that I have toys too, because some people have family pictures. I have family toys that represent everybody that works with me, that's worked with me. And even some of the newer guys that I've met have now all become part of my wrestling family. And I can sit out there, I can chill, I can watch some TV with my wife, and I can be surrounded by my pals there, and they're not drunk or buzzed, and they're very quiet and won't interrupt me. And we have a good time, and my cat hangs out, and it's all cool.
Awesome. One thing I want to ask, and especially while Steve Kearns is right next to you.
Yes.
You both were in the WWF at the same time, so I would like to ask the both of you what it was like to work with Owen Hart, and do you have any rib stories on Owen?
Steve would be more of the rib story guy. I've been there with a lot of rib stories, but at least there's different type of ribbers. Steve's an awesome ultimate ribber, and he's the very unsuspecting. You would never, he's very straight-faced, If you got Abbott and Costello, Abbott, he'd be the Abbott that you would never suspect of being,
Yeah.
Like the Nasty Boys, you got Brian Knobbs, and you've got my ex-brother-in-law, Jerry Sags, and Brian is the one that's the big rib.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But Owen was phenomenal. And he would do funny, pull cute ribs, Mm-hmm. But there were some guys that did more severe ribs that weren't as cute.
Steve, do you have a rib story with Owen Hart?
Well, Owen never pulled a rib on me, but I heard a lot of ribs Owen pulled. But the only time that I was ever a part of one is there was a guy in the WWF at the time named Jim Powers. And Jim Powers would go out, and every time he wrestled, he did the exact same match. And so Owen was wrestling me, a Skinner, one night, and we're in Canada. And Owen said, "We're on before Powers. Let's do his match right before." So when we went to the ring, Owen called every spot that Jim Powers did. And he was Jim Powers just doing his moves. And then when we came back through the curtain, Jimmy Powers, it looked like he had eaten something bad, or he just was like totally lost. He says, "Hey, man, now what am I going to do?" And Owen said, "Well, follow that." Anyway, but that was the only rib that I was ever a part of that Owen pulled. I mean, sure, I know he did a lot of them, but at the same time, that was the only one that I was involved in.
Okay.
Very cool guy, man.
Yeah,
he was a
good guy.
Very nice guy.
Awesome. Fred, for you, because you're someone who also had multiple personas within the industry, did you change your move set at all?
Different characters? Oh, yeah. I did a whole lot more, because a lot of times they put down guidelines, in certain, back in the day, certain big stuff, because they go like, you can't, and some of the old timers, but I don't know if they didn't want you to do it or whatever, they'd be like, you can't be doing that. Okay, that should be saved for a pay-per-view. That should be saved for this. Or, if you do it every night, you're going to have to do it every night. And, you won't have it, you should do that move. Somebody else do it, But, wrestling for me was a continuous learning curve. I loved working with Quake because we could do stuff smaller guys did, being big guys, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
We could kind of put a little bit of edge onto it. I mean, and, as far as the moves and different things, and not just shoving off and doing the, just that old school strongman's, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I was enthralled yesterday, excited, because it came to my phone while I was doing the signing at the event yesterday, and I'd never seen it before. Andre coming off the top rope in a cage, straight down onto, I mean, squashing a guy like the Yokozuna ass bump, him doing that to Big John Studd. And I was like, I was sending that to everybody. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I kept watching the loop over and over and over. I'm like, geez, oh Pete, this is awesome. But I got to work with Bam Bam. We were able to do a lot of smaller move guys stuff because he could do that.
Yeah.
And, so you know, hi. Stuff that you didn't normally do.
I've been here all day, but I wanted to meet you.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Lori, yes. I'm working with you down here.
Now, when it came to...
Scott's a good man. Did you know
the different characters and the different move sets and everything you had. Yes. Was there a certain persona that you liked portraying the most?
I loved everything that I did in the business for the simple fact that I was able to do something that I loved, that I grew up on.
Nice to meet you.
And I was able to work with guys that I had watched on TV, and now I was in the ring with them, and I was able to perform and learn and get better and better and better and enjoy myself doing something that I loved in front of the fans, and the fans were so appreciative, you know what I'm saying? And the better and more experienced I became and the more different territories, I was blessed to be able to work in territories before I went to major networks like WWE and WCW and so on and so on. And I worked, you know, by the end of the deal, I'd worked in over 40 countries. And I'd worked, I've been through 3 passports. And I'm like, you know, travel and meet people and see things that wouldn't normally, even though when we were on the road, but when you're wrestling, it's no less than 300 days a year, wrestling time.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you figure that, you know, it's very hard on marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the businesses. And it's just a hard deal because you're with the guys you're on the road with. You know, it's not like you're seeing them 9 to 5, 5 days a week or whatever it is. You know, you're on the road and have, you know, you got that much testosterone together at one time with nothing but time on their hands. A lot of stuff goes on the road. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, tag teams are really a hard thing. That's why I loved with Quake. You know, we never had to worry about each other. You know, did he get drunk and didn't wake up today and miss his flight? Or, you know, all that stuff. You know, I mean, Steve could tell you that. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that can be worrisome.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And, but, I mean... It's just such a tremendous business. And I tell everybody all the time when I do signings, I'm like, the people are talking to me, asking me questions like you've seen here today. And I'm like, you know what? If it wasn't for you as the fans, we would be nothing. You know, it's like one of those scenarios, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, and that. You got to have a good wrestling promotion. You got to be a good wrestler and know how to tell a story and everything. And wrestling has evolved through the years. It's changed and... All kind of people like different types, different periods in wrestling history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the styles vary and change. You know, we came from a time where a wrestling match told a story. You know, it was easy for the fan to follow and along with the story. It's like sitting in elementary school and a guy reading a book to you, teacher reading the book, and you're able... and. They emphasize and talk the story and teach you the story. You know, it's the same with wrestling matches. And that's the way I was broke into it. The Dean and Joe Malenko, their father, you know, Professor Malenko, is the guy that trained me. And I watched him wrestle as a kid. And I was blessed in those territories that it was always a learning experience. And I got to work with luchadors. My first territory was Texas. I worked with luchadors. I worked with... older experienced guys, and there was guys there who were like me that were greener than goat shit, that, you know, barely knew an arm lock, a headlock from a, you know, a wrist lock, you know what I'm saying? Not a wristwatch, you know? Is it a suplex or is it a souffle? You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
that thing. When I went to my first look-see, I was at the first TBS station in Atlanta, and I rode up there with... Tony Marino and Psycho Negro. They were in the back. I was in the back seat of a Cadillac. And these are two big guys. Steve could tell you. Okay. And this other guy was driving us up there. They wanted to come up. They wanted me to come up so they could look at me. Malenko sent me up there with these guys. I was 15 minutes outside of Tampa. And both of them was asleep. I had a guy's head on this shoulder, a guy's head on his shoulder, and they're both snoring stereo, okay? And then the guy, Ron Slinker, that's driving, he looks up in the mirror and goes, kid, that's how you can tell a real veteran. They can sleep anywhere. And that, you know, I'm like, oh my God. And that was my introduction, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. And earlier you brought up a family member like Jerry Sags from the Nasty Boys.
That's my brother in law. You're related, my first marriage.
You're related to the Rhodes family.
Yes.
So what was it like for you to see Cody back in WWE come out at 30 in the Royal Rumble?
I think it's great. I think he's great. I think the best thing was when he left the first time and he was, you know, basically a plant growing and being able to work on the independents. And before he went to AEW, work different areas, go to Japan, go to different places, work different styles. He was already very talented. Everybody in that family, Dustin is very talented. Okay, incredible wrestler. But to see Cody do this, and his mic skills are great. He's got a great personality. The people buy him as a potential champion or champion. I mean, he's got all those things. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's a blessing to the business, not just to blow smoke up somebody's rear end.
Yeah.
But I believe he's really, really talented, and people see him for what he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I just, you know.
Yeah.
Wish him nothing but the best of luck and love him, and he's a great guy.
Awesome. Now, one thing aside from wrestling that you, Adam Bomb, and Ming have in common.
Yes.
You were all part of the Mortal Kombat TV show.
Yes. Yes, I was.
1997, 1998.
Remember that? Scott had some figures. I was Z-Dak.
Yes. And you actually had, you were on the show the most out of the three of you. So what was that?
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh, it was great. It was great. Like I was telling you about the, some of the actors came from Lethal Weapon 4. They were all Oriental guys that had worked on that movie, you know, as part of the Yakuza and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did all the great fight scenes and everything. And they worked with me there, and they were awesome. We talked and everything, and they were doing. I had to shave my head there. The mullet be gone. The mullet was gone, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred, real quick, where can fans find your pro wrestling tee shop?
ProWrestlingTees.com. Yeah, the Fred Ottman store.
Right on. Fred, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Sure.
I'd also like to thank Scott Wilder Promotions. Fans, you can go to facebook.com/Scott Wilder Promotions. You can also find him on Twitter and Instagram. Fred, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit and talk with me today.
Great. I always like talking wrestling and toys. Both of them are great subjects.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.